Tonight's shiur in Parshas Pekudei, sponsored by Mishpachat Weinblatt of Beit Shemesh, Lui Nishpas, Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim. Seder starts out, Eilef Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaEdus. Rashi says, points out the double lashon, HaMishkan Mishkan. And he says, Shnei Pe'amim, says it twice, the lashon Mishkan. It's a remez lemikdash, nismashken bishnei churbanin, alav anoseyem shel Yisrael. It's lashon Rashi says of a mashkan, a security, that Hashem took the base of mikdash twice as a security for our sins. Since we sinned, He took it. Excuse me. He took the base of mikdash from us and held it. It said, "Look, if you do your tshuva, you do mitzvahs, I'll return it to you. If you're not, I'm holding it as security, as if it were." So the brother of Chaim Volozhin, Rav Zalman, he says, "Wait a second." He says, "If the base of mikdash is taken as a mashkan, L'chor Kosh Baruch Hu has to keep the laws of the mashkan, right? What are the laws of a mashkan?" Law is that if you take a mashkan from a person that's poor, you must return it to him whenever he needs it. Right? If his, he has only one pair of pajamas, let's say. So every night you have to go return his pajamas. So he has his pajamas to sleep in. Morning, take it back, and every night you return it. He needs his pajamas, etc. So that's the case. Asked Rav Zalman, if the Beis HaMikdash was taken as a mashkan, so Hashem should return it to us. There's nothing else we need more than the Beis HaMikdash. So we need it. So why doesn't Hashem return us? We're supposed to return a mashkan when the person needs it. So he answers, so if you look in Parshas Mishpatim, where the Torah talks about the mashkan returning it to the ani, it says over there, Vaya ki tzakelai v'shamati ki chanunani. Shem says that if you don't return it to the poor person, he cries out to me, so boy, you're going to get it. Because I'm going to listen to his crying out. So Mele says, Rav Zalman, yeah, Vada Kodesh Baruch Hu has to return it. But he's waiting for us to cry out. We cry out, we really want it, really truthfully want the Beis HaMikdash, and Shem would say, oh, no, it's crying out. Shem says, Vayaki Tzakei La Shamati, I'm going to hear. Then he returns to us. The problem is, he says, we're not crying out enough. Following Maisa brings out this idea that we're crying, but we're crying selfishly. We're not crying for the right reasons. It's Maisa with the Saba Kadisha Miradishitz, that once he was visiting a certain town, and he stayed by this Stama Balabas. So, in the middle of the night, midnight, he gets up to say his Tikkun Chatzos, the Rebbe. He gets up and he hears that somehow the Baal HaBayis is also awake. So he says, wow, you know, I thought this was a Pasha de Yid. I see he's also getting up to say Tikkun Chatzos. You know, wow. So a little pressed. Fine. A few minutes go by. All of a sudden he hears, oh! He hears a groan. He says, wow. What's such, you know, from the heart, you know, what this guy is unbelievable. I thought of that. Mamish, I was a Pasha of Baal HaBayis. Look at that. He's crying for the base of Mikdash. Unbelievable. A few minutes later, again, oh, he's crying. He says, wow, this guy must be one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim. And Mamish, you know, it seems like a Pasha, but look at how he's crying out for the base of Mikdash. Unbelievable. And again, a few minutes later, oh, again, he's crying. He was this boy. So what I'm hearing tonight, he said, I'm sure he's going to have a lasting impression on me the rest of my life. He was so impressed, couldn't believe this guy. Until the next time he groaned. That gave it away. Why? Then again he heard the guy groan. Oh! But then he continued. He said, Sarala, how many times have I told you not to serve me fried foods before I go to sleep? You know it gives me heartburn. So too he says, you know, yeah, we're crying out, but unfortunately we're crying out for the wrong reasons. Cry out for the covet of Hashem. Then he'll hear our cries and return the mashkan mizrat Hashem. There's a famous Balakurim, the also from the word mashkan, hamashkan. So he says the word mashkan in gematria is 410, which is a remnant of the first base of Mikdash, which stood for 410 years. And the Rabbeinu Bechaye adds to that hamashkan, it says twice, right? Elefekutei hamishkan, Mishkanenu. So Mishkan is 410. HaMishkan, you're adding another 5, is 415. And if you add the 5 letters, that gives you 420, which was the amount of time that the second Beis Hamikdash was around. So, of course, you're going to say, oh, big deal, you're adding the 5 letters, you know. I mean, okay. So I said, no. So it says the Chasam Sofer, there's a significance to that. Right? Why is it missing 5? It's really 415, but you have to add the 5 letters. Because the significance is that since it's a remnant of the second Beis Hamikdash, the second Beis Hamikdash, Chazal tells, we're lacking 5 things. Right? I was lacking the Aaron, the Eish, the Shechina, Ruach HaKodesh, and the Urim Batumim. So since it was lacking 5 things, it's written Chaser 5. You have to add the 5 letters. And in addition, the word Ha'edus, right? Elat Fekudia Mishkan, Mishkan Ha'edus, there's no Vav in the word Ha'edus, it's Chaser in the Torah. And the Gematria, therefore, is 479, which is the amount of years from Mishkan Shiloh until the first Beis Hamikdash as well. So we have also a remez to that time period as well. Okay, so we have the reckonings, the countings of the things that went into the Mishkan, this parsha. Asher pukad al pi Moshe, avadasa levim, etc. biyadi samar ben Aaron Kohen. So there's a sefer tzitzim uprachim, and he points out a lesson that we learned from here, that a person has to want to get involved a little bit, says, with the tzibur. You know, even though we see that, you know, look what happened. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, he has to make an accounting because if people are maybe afraid of bichoshed him, etc. He says, okay, it happens. It's true that sometimes you get the raw end of the deal. It's not easy working with the tzibur, but we see from here that you're supposed to. There's once a fellow came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And he was somebody's in the head of a very big gemach, money-lending gemach. So he came into Rav Chaim and he was complaining. He says, I always get complaints. This is people, this and that. It's very, very hard. So Rav Chaim asked him, he says, tell me something. He says, anybody ever scream at you? He says, yeah, are you kidding me? I get screamed at all the time. That's our part of the problem. So says Rav Chaim, good. He says, good? He says, yeah, it's wonderful. He says, what do you mean wonderful? What's the problem? I mean, I get screamed at, yelled at. She says, it's a Gemara Yerushalmi in Maseches Peah. What does it say over there? It says Rabbi Elazar was a Parnas. He was also a Gabbai, I worked with the Tzibur. And one day he came home and he asked the family, knew anything happened while I was gone today? So they said to Rabbi Elazar's family, told him, yeah. He said, this group of people came, they ate and they drank, and then afterwards they gave you a nice bracha. So he says, ugh. Says, nah, no good. There's no good schar over here. Wasn't happy. Another day he came home. Knew anything happened today while I was gone? I said, yeah. They told him, today a group of people came. They ate and they drank, and then they cursed you out. They cursed you and they revazed you. And he says, ah, wonderful. He said, on that I'm going to get schar tov. So the Pnei Moshe, who right, the parish on the Yerushalmi over there. He says, "Vizel lamed." He says, "Here is the what's what do we learn from this ma'isa? She'al yakpira parnas v'gabayi mitbazeh al yedei kach me'ez b'nei adam." Person that's working for the tzibur shouldn't take it personally. Shouldn't take it hard when people are mevazehim or whatever. Why? Ki adarabba zeu lo lanachas. That's wonderful. Mi'kabel sachar tov bishvil kach. Exactly what Rabbi Elazar said. Dafka, when he heard that they cursed him out, he goes, ah, wonderful, because that's when I get on my schar. People are nice to me, blessing. The schar is dafka. Despite all the good I'm doing for the tzibur, I get the get it over the head. That's dafka whenever you get the schar. Lufum tzara agra. Okay. I'm finding an interesting thing that when the Torah goes through the materials, starts off with the Zahav and the Kesef and the Choshes, and it says how much there was of each of these materials. But then it goes through also what it was done with the materials. However, that's not so with the gold. It's only with the silver and the Nechoshes. So why? So one famous answer they give is that who gives the gold? the most expensive stuff. People that are good-hearted, whatever. The people that are good-hearted, normally, they're not so nitpicky. But they give with the, you know, fine with it, do what you want, I trust you, and they give it. So Mela, Moshe Rabbeinu, for those people, didn't have to give an account exactly where everything went. But people that gave lesser things, silver, copper, whatever, there, people that give a little bit, they're dafka the ones. Yeah, what'd you do with this? I gave you this. What'd you do with the penny I gave you? They're very mocking every little thing. That's the nature of people. And therefore, dafka, Moshe had to give the accounting in full with regards to the silver and the copper, not the gold. Others say that the gold was used for the Aron. One of the things was for the Aron was made with the gold. And since the Aron, says, was Noses Nosav, right, it had no weight, it lifted up those that carried it, and now there was it itself carried no weight. So Mela, he couldn't give an exact hedgeman on the gold, he couldn't weigh it, because it was with the gold on the Aron was carried itself. So since he couldn't give it an exact calculation for it, so Mela, he left it. Okay, it says, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Says Vateichel Kol Avodas Mishkan Oel Moed, and they finished all the avoda of the Mishkan. VeYasu Bnei Israel Kechol Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe Keinasu. So they're bothered by the fact that it says that they did it twice. Right? Vateichel Avodas Oel Moed. VeYasu Bnei Israel. They did. VeYasu Bnei Israel Keinasu. Well, you said already they did. VeYasu Bnei Israel. We have to say this again. Keinasu. So the Znaim LaTorah, he says that something we actually mentioned in an earlier shiur a couple of weeks ago, that we can learn from the Mishkan, the Kalim, etc., teaches us Musar as well. Remember we mentioned about the Aron, how the Midos of the Aron are Shvurim, they're not Ik, they're all two and a half by one and a half. I don't know if it's not full to show. The Talmud Chacham has to be humble and feel that he's incomplete. And as we learn Musar from the Kalim. So Mela, says Rav Zalman Sarotskin, very nice. They're Vyasu, they made the Kalim, but not only that, they made themselves. In other words, they used the Limudim from the Kalim to make themselves as well. That's the other Vyasu. We find a similar Pasuk, and also with a double Lashon, a little bit later, in Pasuk Mem Gimel, Vayar Moshe Sa'a is Kol HaMalacha, all the Malacha, Vinei Asu Osa. Yeah, they did it. Kasher tziv Hashem. Kein asu ve'yivarach otam Moshe. Again, the asu twice. So also, what's this ve'yar Moshe? So the Yehuda Tzadka says that Moshe, it says here Moshe saw, because Moshe saw something here which nobody else was able to see. And what was that? That just like there's a Mishkan down here in this world, there's also a Mishkan in Shemayim. And therefore, when the Mishkan was completed over here, the Mishkan in Shemayim was also completed. So therefore, that's a double lashon of the asu. The asiyah was down here, but it was also an asiyah up in Shemayim. And likewise, unfortunately, the opposite is also true. When the base of Migdash is destroyed down here, it's also destroyed in Shemayim. And he says a nice mashal based on the Gemara Mishnah in Baba Metziah in Perek Habayis Valiyah, right? The talks over there in the Mishnah of two people. One owns a two-floor house. Or one owns the bottom. Reuven owns the bottom floor. And Shimon, the top floor. And then the whole house complex fell down. So what happens? So then, normally, Reuven would then build his house again, the bottom. And then Shimon on top, his house rebuild it on top. But what if Reuven says, sorry, I have no cash, I can't afford it, I can't build. So what is Shimon going to do? He can't build a second floor without the first floor. So what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to, says the Mishnah, he builds the bottom floor. He himself lives in it, or he can build both floors for that matter. And he lives in the bottom floor. And then when Reuven says, hey, I want to live there, he says, hey, you want to live there, you have to pay for it. He says, okay, fine. So then he comes up with the money, he pays for it, and then Reuven goes into the bottom floor where he was before, after paying for it to Shimon, and then Shimon then goes back upstairs. Asimela, he says it's the same thing over here with the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is fell, right? Ba'is fell, yeah. We said it, the Beis HaMikdash up there, Beis HaMikdash down here. And both stories fell, boom. So now, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is, Hilu, you know, we're waiting for Hashem Baruch Hu that he should rebuild the upstairs and downstairs. We need him, you know, to help us build the Beis HaMikdash. And once the Beis HaMikdash will be built, the upstairs and downstairs, then it'll be up to us to come up with the money, quote unquote, to move into the Beis HaMikdash. We have our enough schuyos, then Hashem Baruch Hu will say, fine, you have your mitzvahs, you have your schuyos, vakasha, now I'll let you into the bottom Beis HaMikdash, I'll go back into the top one, and everything will be good. Bezrat Hashem. Okay, it says V'yavo as a Mishkan el Moshe. It's back a little bit in Pasuk Lamed Gimel V'yaviu. Excuse me, V'yaviu as a Mishkan el Moshe. They brought the Mishkan to Moshe. It's all Moed, etc. It's Oel Vesa called Kelav. So there's a very maybe you want to call it a Midrash Plia, Midrash Tanchuma on this pasuk. It says Yilamdenu Rabenu Kama Dvarim Tiknu Mipnei Darchei Shalom. A number of things, chachamim mesakein, there should be peace amongst people, darkei shalom. What are they? So one of the things is, kohen kore rishon, vacharav levi, vacharav yisrael, mipnei darkei shalom. That when you're in shul, when you have given aliyahs, so first you give a kohen, then you give a levi, then you give a yisrael, so shouldn't be fights who gets the first aliyah, it always goes to a kohen. Which I think is a wonderful takana, by the way. So the cool, obvious question is, Mom, what's the connection? What is it? They brought the Mishkan to Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that have to do with the pasuk of making a takana of Kohen Levi Yisrael for reading the Torah? What's the connection? So the Mario Diskin says a beautiful word. He says, why did Moshe, you know, Moshe, we know, Anav Mikolada, right? The most humble of all people. So why did he say, okay, everybody, bring the Mishkan to me. He said, Vayavil at the Mishkan on Moshe. Okay, bring all the Kalim, bring it. Here, conquer. It's not like Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, you think he would go to the people, go pick up this, go pick up that. But was he calling everybody in to come to him? You know, it's not like him being the most humble of all people. So he said, you know why Moshe Rabbeinu did that? He says, because he felt that, you know, what's going to be? If I'm going to go pick up the Kalim myself, you know, so where do I go? Where do I start? Mainly, like, whoever I go to, that person's going to say, wow, Moshe came to me first. And the other guy said, no, it's not fair. He came to me second, third, last, for that matter. You know, but you got to start somewhere. You got to finish somewhere. But he didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So wherever he goes, he's going to cause the other person's going to feel, ah, that's not fair. Why do you go to him? So Moshe says, okay, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So if I got a great idea, I'll just sit here. I'll say, okay, bring me the Mishkan. So what's going to happen? Then there's going to be a natural lineup. You know, I'm going to come, first. You're going to start starting up in a line, and then they're going to come in and bring me the things. No arguments, no fights. I might fight who gets first in line, but at least Moshe Rabbeinu's not hurting anybody's feelings, right? Once he starts going to him and going to him. So it comes out that which Moshe Rabbeinu said, and that to bring the Kalim to him, was really the same idea. It was Darkei Shalom. Just like Kohen Levi Yisrael, so there shouldn't be fights. That's why they made that takana. So too, that's the connection between bringing the Kalim to Moshe Rabbeinu. He also wanted it this way because of Darkei Shalom. So it should be peace. It shouldn't hurt anybody's feelings at all. Moshe came to me, not to me, etc. So reminded me of, I don't know if it's true, but you know, you hear these maislach, but with the stiplers, that's all, said that when Sukkos came, he had a whole stack of lulavs in his house. So they said, what are all these lulavs for? He said, because when he used to go, you know, lulav shopping, you know, for Sukkos, so he would, you know, they have all these duchans, you know, these tables that people sell it. So he would, you know, go up to the thing, you know, check it out, whatever, and just look at it, whatever, I'd be okay, but he was looking, so, but he always felt, you know, if I'm going to just put it down and walk away and go to another table, then people are going to think that this guy's, you know, schoyer is not good. He says, oh, Stipler put it down and walked away, go to another table. Oh, must be something wrong. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I was just looking around. So, no, checking it out, whatever. But if just walk away, people are going to get the wrong impression. They're going to think this guy's stuff's no good. So he'd make sure of buying a lulav. Then you go to the next table, same thing. But before leaving to the next table, he would buy a lulav from there. So people shouldn't think he did. So he ended up going to all these tables. Every table he went to, he bought a lulav. He came home with 100 lulavs. And, you know, but in order not to hurt a person's feelings. I'm not sure about why I don't think the story, I don't know if the story is true. Because that's the mashwa that the stipler said, wow, people are going to look at me and think I'm, you know, this guy's no good because I didn't buy. But I heard a contradictory mashwa that the stipler once made a comment. He said to somebody on Sukkot's time also, he said, you know, I must have the biggest sukkah in all of Bnei Brak. So somebody said to him, well, why do you think that? I mean, he was a little tiny sukkah. Why do you think you have the biggest sukkah? He says, I have that. I must be having the biggest sukkah. He says, why? He said, well, look how many people come to my sukkah. I must have the biggest sukkah in Bnei Brak. I didn't realize they're coming because of him, you know. So I don't know, it's typical steer as a mice. But, and it also reminded me of another mice, cute mice with Ramosha Feinstein, on the same lines also, that once he was at this, I don't know exactly, with a bunch of people sitting at a table, and he had some coffee, he wanted some milk in his coffee. So he picked up the carton of milk, and then he put it down, and then he picked up another carton, and then he poured his coffee from that. So everybody's saying, oh, well, let's check the hexer on that first carton. It's probably no good, and this and that, or whatever. And they started making a whole thing. They looked at, oh, yeah, it's got this hexer, and maybe we should tell people not to buy this milk, and da-da-da-da, a whole big vial of gun, or whatever. So they told Ramosha what happened. He said, we saw a problem with this. He says, what are you talking about? He says, well, we saw you pick up the carton, you put it down, you went for the other milk. He said, that's right. He said, why'd you do that? He said, I'll tell you exactly why I did it. He said, first carton was empty. Anyways, it says, Perek Mem Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayhi b'chodesh arishon b'shana shenis b'chad l'chodesh hukam ha-mishkan. The Mishkan was finally erected. The Chazal say that this was on... The actual Mishkan went up was only in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which Bezrat Hashem, time permitting, we will speak about that. But there was 8 days of inauguration, the 7 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu was taught by Hashem how to do everything in the Mishkan. And during those 7 days, Chazal tell us, every day Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan and took it down for 7 days. So it comes out, they picked it up and put it down 7 times. So the Ger Rebbe, the Imre Emes, has a nice remez, says that since Moshe Rabbeinu put it up and took it down 7 times, this is a remez to the 7 times that our Mishkan / Mikdash was taken down. And that was, the original Mishkan was in the Midbar, and then that was taken down. Then we went into Teretz Yisrael. The second one was in the Mishkan in Gilgal, by Yeshua. And then we had the Mishkan in Shiloh, that's number 3. The Mishkan of Nov, number 4. Mishkan of Givo, number 5. And then the Beis HaMikdash, number 1, which was the 6th. And finally, the second Beis HaMikdash, number 7. So 7 times our Mishkan or Mikdash was put up and it was taken down. So connected this, Moshe Rabbeinu put up and took down the Mishkan 7 times during the Shiva Shmona Yimei Miluim for the first 7 days. And this is the idea, is that by putting it up and taking it down, show that even though, you know, I'm taking it apart, but I'm putting it back up, so it's not going to be, it's not final. Right? There'll be, it might be taken down, but there'll be another one. And Bezrat Hashem, seventh, last one also, the 7th represents the second base of major, was taken down. But Bezrat Hashem, we should see the building of it soon. Bezrat Hashem. So while on the topic, we said that the Mishkan was erected on Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. However, it was completed in Kislev, on the 25th of Kislev in the year 2449. Of the Bria. So it was. They started in Tishrei, right? And they finished in a Kislev very quickly. But it was, he had to wait 3 months until it was actually erected. They had all the pieces and everything, but it was where Hashem said not to put it up until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which was the month that Yitzhak Avinu was born. Bezrat Hashem will get back to that as well. First of all, I saw a cute thing that a little addition to it, and that is that the, since it was finished on 25th of Kislev, that date sound familiar? It's Chanukah, first day of Chanukah. So it hands up that the Mishkan was ready to be put up in Kislev, 25th of Kislev, but Hashem passed over that time, said, no, don't put it up, I'm waiting till Nisan. So Hashem compensated, as if it were, Kislev, and gave the holiday of Chanukah. So thinking with that, we can answer the age-old question of the Beis Yosef as well. Answer number 1,900. Right? Why is Hanukkah 8 days when really the miracle was only for 7 days? They had enough oil for 1 day, so the miracle was only 7 days. So with this, perhaps we could have another answer. Right? Because the first day was not for the Shemit, but it was, we're celebrating this concept. We're compensating when the Mishkan was not put up on the 25th of Kislev. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, he said, compensate, fine, I'll give you Chanukah. So the first day of Hanukkah is the compensation for the Mishkan. It wasn't put up, so that's what we're celebrating for. Therefore, in the other 7 days are Keneged the Nes. Could be. Okay. There's a beautiful Bar Yosef, and he asked the following question. He says, "What's pshat? The fact that they were able to make the Mishkan so quickly, get all the pieces and everything, was like almost like nice. Obviously, Hashem's hand was involved. Then he, you know, had them. The whole thing was done in chick chak, right? He started in end of Tishrei and already finished by Kislev very quickly. So Hashem wanted them. It looks like to do it really fast. But that is very strange. And then why Hashem says no? Don't put it up. Waiting till Nisan." Chodesh and Nos. You see, yeah, he wanted to, when Yitzhak was, as he says, the Chazal tells, when Yitzhak was born, he wanted to put up that. That's very nice, but we can still ask the question, so why didn't Hashem just, you know, let him go slower and let it finish by, he made a rush through, they could miraculously do it really quickly, and then have them wait until Nisan. Just have them finish in the, before Nisan. Or have them start a little bit later and finish at Nisan. Why did he make it go really quickly, and then wait for 3 months from Kislev to Nisan, and then have it put up there? Oh, what's going on? This is a beautiful idea. He says that what was the Chazal tell us that the Mishkan was a kapara for what? For the Chet HaEgel. Okay? Now, what was one of the main problems in the Chet HaEgel? Is that Klal Yisrael, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain, you know, and they're waiting anxiously for his return, and then they miscalculated, right, and they were off by a day, exactly which day he was supposed to come down, but they saw he didn't come down yet, right away, and what happened? They went crazy. Oh no, Moshe Rabbeinu's gone, he's dead, that's it, it's a replacement, and they built an angel. So what was their mistake? Their mistake were that they lacked a little bit of patience. They're let's go, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu's there, relax, okay, give it another day, let's see what happens, you know, don't rush into things. They went crazy. So that was their sin. So therefore, Hashem says, you need a tikkun for that. So what's the tikkun? The exact opposite. Therefore, what did Hashem do? He made them make the Mishkan really quickly, have it all ready to be put up by Kislev, and then they were all excited, go, great, everything's ready, let's go, let's put it up, let's get the Mishkan going, yeah! And Hashem says, no, wait. So come on, it's all ready to go. We did it so fast. We did it. Let's go. Wait. Have patience. Wait. They waited a day, another day, another Hashem said, make 3 months. Why? To teach them patience. Since that was their pagam that they rushed into making the ego, so the kapara has to be the opposite. To have patience and not rush into things so fast. And therefore, that's why Hashem did it in such a manner. Finally, he says another interesting idea, Bar Yosef, Yosef Salant, says, why Dafka the Hashem says, no, but I want it to be put up in the Chodesh Nolad Yitzchak. Now, why Dafka Yitzchak? Chodesh Nolad Yitzchak. Why not the Chodesh Nolad Avraham, Yaakov? I mean, according to one sheet in Rosh Hashanah, they were born in Tishrei, right? And even according to the other sheet, it says they were all in Nisan, but still, then why is it mentioned Chodesh Nolad Nisan? Yitzchak. Could have said Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, whatever. So some reason, there's something special, like, oh, Yitzchak. Chodesh Nolad Yitzchak. What's the significance of Yitzchak? I'm putting up the Mishkan when Yitzchak, month of Yitzchak. So he says a beautiful idea. He says that the Ramban brings down the beginning of Vayikra, that what was what's the idea of Korbanos, you know, next week's Sedra. So he says the idea of Korbanos is that when we see this animal being taken and shechted and the blood taken and the blood being, you know, spritzed on the Mizbeach and the stuff burnt on the Mizbeach and everything, we're supposed to feel that that's supposed to be us. You know, I deserve that to be done to me with all the severes that I did. You know, that should be me on that, being shechted and burnt and etc. That should be me. But Hashem, in his Rachmanis, says, okay, you know, do it to the animal instead. But again, that's supposed to teach us and say, but to learn a lesson. And said, that's supposed to be me, so I better be careful. But that's supposed to be me up there. You know, instead it's the animal. So he says, that's the lesson of the Korbanos, so that's what it's supposed to teach us. So Mele says that what was the Mishkan's main purpose? Korbanos. The Mishkan was offered the Korbanos. So Mele, since the Mishkan, which was, made for offering up the Korbanos, So who of all the people, of all the Avos for sure, who is the one that most represents this idea of it should be me up there on the Mizbeach? Who? Yitzchak, because he was on the Mizbeach. Hashem put him on the Mizbeach. Him, of everybody, he was on there. He knows what it's like. So if there's one person that should be represents this idea of, hey, that should be me up there, it's Dafka Yitzchak Vidu. And therefore Hashem, when they wanted to have the Mishkan erected, Dafka in the month, with Nolag Yitzchak, who is himself, was almost a personal sacrifice. So to Hashem, you should be Zoiche to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi, Bimhera V'Yameinu. Amen.